First of many combined podcasts, DFS Army and the Flex Network. I am Season Long Says, and I am along with Shane Seely of the Flex Network, one of the sharpest minds in season-long fantasy football. Say hello, Shane.
What's going on, Al? How you doing, man?
All right. And if you are listening to this on the DFS Army podcast stream, you're going to get very familiar with Shane Seely. I have handpicked and chosen him to join me weekly as we are going to be doing a waiver wire podcast. If you're listening on the Flex Network podcast stream, you are well aware of Shane and how great his analysis is.
So I'm excited. This is going to be a new endeavor for us. This is getting exciting. Getting into season-long content. So I guess first and foremost, guys, make sure that you subscribe to your podcast streams. Check us out on YouTube as you need to. But yeah, I mean, essentially what Al and I are going to be doing here is we're going to be doing our best waiver wire picks for your leagues. And we're going to try to take a broad approach where we're going to look at, you know, different size leagues. Obviously, our focus will typically be on the 10 to 12 man leagues. But we're each going to go and we're going to find like a really, really deep, you know, kind of just like filthy plays for all you 16 team leagues out there. And just kind of the plays and why we think that they're good plays. And I think most important now, I mean, like one of the challenges a lot of people have, and I think all of us are included, is, you know, just that fab management, right, throughout the season. And so I think each week we're going to take an approach in terms of what percentage of your fab you should be using. What do you prefer, Al? Do you prefer like a $100 fab budget or like a $1,000 fab budget?
So yeah, you hit on it perfectly. So when fantasy football started, and I'm going to answer your question, when fantasy football started, people were using a reverse standings or reverse draft order waiver wire priority. And I'm still in one league like that. It's kind of fun to be in one league like that. But now most leagues have gone to a FAB, which is a free agent auction bidding system where you have a certain amount of money, like Shane said, either $100, $1,000. Sometimes it's somewhere in between, and you could bid on the players. I personally prefer the $1,000 bidding because this way it really prevents any ties. It's you got to think of it. And what we mean by that is, you know, in a typical $100 bidding league, you bid $6 on a player. What you would do, the equivalent of $6 in the $1,000 bidding dollar league, is $60. So you could bet 61, 62. But again, it's all the same. It's just a personal preference. I like $1,000. I know you do too. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. It's that minutia, right? It's being able to go and bid that $68 bid, which really in like a normal league is like $6.8,
which you
can't really do, right? So not only does it differentiate you, but it also gives you a little bit more play. If like if there's a guy that you kind of want to take a stab at, that's like, you know, way at the end, you're like, I'd be okay with this guy. I don't want to spend $0 on him because I think he's worth acquiring, but I don't exactly want to spend a lot of money. It's just, there's a little bit more strategy to it.
Totally. And so just knowing it's, that actually leads us into our first point, is not only are we going to give you our weekly waiver wire pickups, because they're going to be obvious. You know, every website, every podcast is going to have the same four or five guys which to pick up. So what's going to really differentiate us is we're going to tell you specifically what we should bet now or should bid on them. And it's not so much what you should bid. It's, we're going to talk about it in percentages, because if you are, if you have a $200 budget or $100 budget, $10 is not going to mean the same. So we're going to say usually you should bid X percent of your budget on them. And then also it'll depend on if your league allows $0 bid. Some leagues I'm in, which I don't like, mandate that you have a $1 bid. So you need to save some of that fab. And we're going to go over different strategies throughout the season on what to bid.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. I'm excited for it. I mean, you talk about like the different parts of your season, and a lot of time, a lot of effort is spent on your draft, right? You know, it's the most exciting part of the year for a lot of people. Like, I don't know about you, Al, but for me, it's kind of like Christmas, right? Your draft, especially for like your home leagues, the ones you've been playing in for a decade.
For us New York Jews, it's more like Hanukkah.
Yeah, sorry. Let's just call it the holiday season.
No, I'm only kidding. Come on. All Jews celebrate Christmas. You know, you ever heard there's a whole website called Jews with Trees?
No, I haven't seen that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you wouldn't. You're not a Jew. So
there you go. That's all right. Yeah. Anyways, okay. So I've already offended half of our audience. It's perfect. The reality of that is, like, your draft is only part of the season, right? It's frankly, I mean, go back and look at your team from last year. If your team resembled even like partially what your draft team was, it means you weren't working hard throughout the season, right? And I think that a big part of it is going to be obviously your decisions every single week that we can probably try to help you with, right? Your top plays, which is going to be one of our shows, our Finding the Flex show, or your Flex Finder for those start sit decisions. But, you know, a big part of it is what guys do we need to go after, right? I mean, if you went and you got Philip Lindsay early on in the season last year, he was a game changer. He might have helped you get to the playoffs, and frankly, he might have helped you win the playoffs. What about Damian Williams? I mean, every single year, there's guys that come out of nowhere that, you know, if you just decided to bid a couple more dollars, that you would acquire them, and hey, maybe might have meant the difference between a championship and not a championship. So we'll help you navigate that.
Yeah, absolutely. And not only are the top five or six obvious guys, I mean, the wide receiver who has 8 catches for 80 yards and a touchdown is the obvious pickup. But what we're going to sort of flesh out is how much of that, what is that? Is that real? Is that a mirage? Is that a one-time thing? Should you go all in? I mean, just a quick example would be if an old-time veteran like Randall Cobb has a good week one. He's on a lot of waiver wires right now. Are you going to empty the kitty for him? Probably not. But if some unexpected young running back gets, you know, a massive 100-yard game and a touchdown, that one might be worth putting a little extra few bucks on to acquire him. And so, Shane, what would you say? And then we're also, what's more important than those top five guys are the bottom five guys on our waiver list where you can pick them up now for a buck or $0 that we're going to try to look ahead to 3 weeks that might be valuable then. Because I think everyone is on to what the top waiver wire plays are now. So the key is getting a week or two ahead. What is your, we're going to make this a quick podcast, but what would you say if you could tell the DFS Army and the Flex Network subscribers, what is your one or two strategies as a general philosophy on the waiver wire when you're using Fab Bucks?
Well, I think that at the very start of your season, you can't be afraid to spend all your money early. I wouldn't say all your money, right? But like a big chunk of your money early if it's the right player. And the reason for that is because early on in the season, I mean, if you're going to be acquiring these guys, it just means that, you know, your dollars per games played or dollars per starts on your team, it's going to be, you're going to get a lot more bang for your buck if you're willing to go out and get a star early on, right? I mean, so much of draft season is speculation. It's speculating what this player's role is going to be in this offense, right? Like, so the guy that kind of comes to my mind right now is Darrell Henderson. So a guy like Darrell Henderson, he's being drafted quite highly, but come week one, if we realize that Todd Gurley is still getting all the touches. I mean, we think that Darrell Henderson is going to get 7 to 10 touches in a game, probably receptions. If that doesn't happen and it's all the Todd Gurley show, it's also about which guys are we willing to drop, right?
Yeah, they're going through that right now with Darwin Thompson.
Exactly, with Shady. So it's a similar situation where, you know, there's guys that you think are going to have set roles in your offenses. If that doesn't turn out to be the case, then you can go and you can quickly react because we know that, you know, maybe if you want to get a piece of that Rams backfield, you want to, you know, snake somebody for a handcuff. Maybe you drop Darrell Henderson for Malcolm Brown because you realize that, hey, in the case of Gurley going down, Malcolm Brown's going to be the handcuff that's going to roll in there. And so you can drop Darrell Henderson and go pick up Malcolm Brown because you realize neither of them are frankly going to have a week to week impact on your team. So it's, you know, sort of ideas like that. And, I tend to be a little bit cheap early on, or I have been in the past. And it's always that fear, right? That fear that you're going to miss out on the star waiver wire guy 8 weeks down the line, right? The issue is you don't know when that's going to happen or if that's going to happen. Or maybe there's one guy in your league that never spends his money. So no matter what, at the very end, if you're kind of spending a few bucks here and there, you might not get that guy anyways. So don't be afraid to spend your money early. And don't be afraid to be aggressive on the waiver wire. I mean, if you've been doing as much draft prep as I assume you probably have, it means you know a lot of these guys' names, right? So when they show out in week one and you realize, oh, shit, this guy is going to get a pretty good target share, like a Trey Quinn, for example, who knows? Chances are he's not on anybody's teams unless you're in a deep league. But if he comes out and gets like 8 receptions for 120 yards, you realize that he's going to be the go-to guy for Case Keenum. Hell, you're going to want to go out and get Trey Quinn, and you're not going to be afraid to spend a lot of money on him because you know he's talented. So I think that's the only thing, is don't be afraid.
Yeah, I think that's smart. I think, you know, you basically took what I think the key strategy is. Don't be afraid to spend, because the fab actually becomes less valuable each week. And, you know, there's always going to be a counterpunch to that argument. Someone, you know, that often say to me, well, I got Damian Williams in, you know, in week 11 last year because I had the most fab. Yep. It certainly did, but you missed out, you know, but you weren't in place to make the playoffs because you hadn't been making the moves all year long. So it cuts both ways. I think over time, definitely if you have a strong feeling, just go out and get the guy, but don't be frivolous with it. Again, I use the example of a veteran like Randall Cobb. I spent big money on him. He had a big week one last year, and I learned a valuable lesson that the veterans sometimes, especially receivers, it's going to be too inconsistent to spend your fab. The other big strategy that I would urge our subscribers and listeners to do is keep the bottom of that roster fluid, meaning don't be afraid to cut a guy you took in the 9th round of your draft just because it's a sunk cost. And you used Henderson as an example. Now, mm-hmm. he seems right now still to be like a high upside guy.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm saying, let's say you took Darwin Thompson in the 8th or 9th round. I've gotten a lot of Darwin Thompson. Should I cut him to pick up Justin Jackson questions? And the answer for me is yes, because it's looking more and more like Melvin Gordon's not going to play. And not to get into the details, this is just a general strategy, but sunk cost is sunk cost. And there's nothing worse than holding on to an asset and not keeping the bottom of that roster fluid just because you spent a high draft pick. You often hear in the real NFL, it doesn't matter when you were drafted. We're all the same here in this camp, and whoever performs the best is going to play. So I think that applies also to fantasy football.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I'm just looking early on. I mean, I've got on one of my teams, I've got T.Y. Hilton as my wide receiver one, right? So I'm trying to look at some other teams and trying to determine which players I want to go after. And the reality is that, you know, sometimes some of these players like T.Y. Hilton, I mean, the reality is he doesn't have the same value that he used to have, right? So if you're going to go out and say trade a name brand guy like T.Y. Hilton, and I don't know, try to get like a Chris Godwin or something like that, if somebody's willing to make that trade, I would say do it, right? So it's the same principle. It's don't be afraid of what's happened. I mean, at the time of the draft, you had different information, right? Things change. And that's the beauty of fantasy football, is that it changes every single week. Right. There's going to be content for us to talk about every single week. It's going to be exciting. And hell, we're going to sift through all this information and hopefully try to pinpoint you to some week winning / league winning plays.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's going to be exciting.
And that's it. So we're going to wrap this up just by saying we hope you join us. Shane and I are probably going to record this live, so you'll be able to watch it live during Monday Night Football. We'll send out tweets and links, and we're going to post it up as soon as it's done. There'll be an occasion where we can't record it on Monday night that we'll do it Tuesday night. We know a lot of waivers run on Tuesday into Wednesday. That's why we're trying to get it done for you. But we urge you, here's another thing, urge your commissioner run waivers on Wednesday into Thursday. Sometimes Yahoo default is Tuesday for some reason. Sleeper default is Tuesday. We pushed ours to Wednesday just because it's better to have more injury information. And right off Monday Night Football, you don't want to have to start, you know, finalizing bids. So the later you can run your waivers, obviously Wednesday night would be the latest for the Thursday game, the better. But we are sensitive that many of you have a Tuesday night run, so we'll do our best to get that up to you Monday night.
And it might be too late, but go talk to your commissioner and see if they can push it back to Wednesdays, or even at least bring it up now. It's never too early to bring up rule changes for next season. And the reason that we really push for Wednesday is because that's also when injury reports come out. That's when the first practices are. And so we have a lot more clarity in terms of what's going to happen. A lot of the times, if you're going to be going out and spending that fab budget, it's because there was an injury. And you're trying to figure out who the handcuff is going to be, or if this guy's actually going to be out for a week, or if he's going to be out for 4 weeks. And the more information you have on the Wednesday, like you said, says, is that you can just make a better informed decision.
Yeah. So play this podcast for your commissioner.
That's right. Do it.
Yep. All right. All right. Shane Seeley of the Flex Network. Season Long Says, Alan Soslowski of DFS Army and the Flex Network. We're going to be doing this combined podcast. Can't wait. I'll talk to you soon, Shane. I'll see you next Monday night for some Monday
Flex Night Football. Flex on, baby.